As many of you listeners know, I've been producing specials about King Records since 2007, when I hooked up with Larry Nager to record a roundtable of musicians from King Records, including Philip Paul and Otis Williams. Since that roundtable discussion, I produced a number of King specials with Brian Powers from the local history department of the public library downtown. Last year, I was approached by Sue Plummer and Christine Anderson about a project they're working on about the women of King Records. I knew about some of the women who had recorded and worked at King, but I haven't produced any specials about them. So it's my honor to welcome Sue and Christine into our studio to talk about their project. Welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Very much so.
Your project entails lots of research into King, Queen, and Federal recording labels. Christine, tell us when you started the project and why.
We started the project several months ago, and I think it was because I had been working with King Studios and Brian Powers and Mr. Paul and Mrs. Paul when she was with us. But nobody ever talked about women who recorded at King, except perhaps for Bonnie Lou. And yet I sometimes heard whispers, particularly among friends who were interested in soul music, who said, oh, well, all those King women. And I thought, all those King women? I'd never heard of them. So Sue has done a wonderful job of going through discographies and putting together, she's still working on it, in fact, a comprehensive list of women who recorded at King or at its affiliated studios over the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and has a huge number of those women. We've just begun to scratch the surface of looking at those women.
Well, I've got to backtrack because I did do a special about Bonnie Lou because she was inducted into the Rockabilly Hall of Fame.
That's right.
But not many of the other women who recorded at King. Many of them, Sue, they were gospel singers.
There were several gospel singers. Most of them were with larger groups, but they might have been listed separately within the discography. Some of them under their own name, backed up by a gospel group. Some of them were part of smaller gospel groups. They might be mixed male and female, or they might have been all female, four or five parts.
A lot of the people we found have been R&B singers, and many of them recorded for Federal, some for Deluxe, a few for King, yeah.
And where are you going to go with this project?
Well, we're still thinking about that. We would like to take it public. We think that these women deserve recognition. So we will do some sort of public exhibits, and we're thinking that down the line it would be great to have some local musicians do a concert of some of these songs. Many of them were written by the women artists as well. So that would be a wonderful tribute to those women, yeah.
Are you planning on an oral history, trying to track down these women to get them recorded, their stories?
Yes, we would like to do that. We've got a few that we would like to track down who are mostly local and still around. Unfortunately, a lot of the singers from King are gone, but some of them have daughters or sons or other family members who might be willing to talk to us, or if they were from groups, members of those groups might be available for us, yeah.
Brian Powers just came in a few weeks ago and we recorded the nephew of Moon Mullican.
Oh my goodness.
He's 83 or 84 living down in Texas, but we managed to get some of his stories about his uncle, which are very colorful. I mean, it was fun. He was talking about Patsy Cline and Hank Williams. So I'm really curious about the stories these women might have too.
I would be very, very interested because there seem to be maybe some themes, but I'm not sure. I could be way off base, and I would like to hear what they have to say about their experiences to make sure that I'm not making up stories. Historians do that sometimes.
Well, what about the women who worked in the offices of King Records or in the plant where they shipped records out? I know there were a lot of, Sid Nathan was very revolutionary about bringing in women and men together as well as the races, including
yes.
Japanese. There were a number of Japanese folks who worked
yes,
there.
Yes, and some of those were folks who had been released from internment camps and came to Cincinnati. Yeah, he was revolutionary in that way. And I think that in most parts of King, he could see that. I think that in terms of women as recording artists, like many of us, he had some difficulty because we assume that popular music stars are men, you know? And if you say rock and roll, and of course, King is famous for the innovation that it did because it had different artists there whose styles could influence each other. King was influential in the birth of rock and roll. But if you say rock and roll, we often think of men, just because that's sort of the assumption that we make, the implicit assumption.
Well, how hard is it going to be to track down women who work there behind the scenes?
That may be difficult. Sometimes, though, we hear stories. Someone will say, oh, I knew someone whose aunt worked at King or whose mother worked at King. So I think that that, in some ways, we hope will be a little bit easier than maybe we're thinking it will be.
I recently spoke with someone whose father worked in the plant when he was going through college. And again, meeting, once we make contact with that person, meeting people like that can lead to other names. And that's probably more of a word of mouth thing in terms of finding those people, whereas we have this discography with all these musicians laid out for us.
Well, the discography alone is a treasure.
Oh,
it's that
quite.
Double set. Now, who was the author of that?
Michelle Rupply, R-U-P-P-L-I. And when I was looking for how to find this information, I noticed he's done a lot of discographies for a lot of these small record companies from the 20th century. So, yeah, it's a two-volume set. It's about 800, 900 pages total. And all of the labels that were associated with King, some of the obscure ones that Sid Nathan bought, where they took the masters and reissued, as well as King, Queen, Federal, Deluxe, which were some of the labels that were more majorly associated with King. So,
and Sue is so patient to do that. It is really a labor of love. We have this wonderful photograph that she took with all the little tabs, hundreds of tabs sticking out, showing women and songs from King.
Well, I'm thinking that maybe somehow through this interview, we can reach out to our listeners and say, if you know anybody who worked at King Records, contact Christine or Sue or me, and I'll get the information to you all so that we can start to try to get an oral history from the women's perspective.
That would be a wonderful thing. That would be terrific. We have some students working with us now, and we'll have some more in the fall so they can be part of that too. I think that would be a wonderful service, yes.
And I think also I've been working with Brian Powers. Of course, September is King Records Month, and we're going to do a couple of shows on James Brown and one on Moon Mullican. And there's two more weeks in September, and of course, now I'm thinking Women of King.
That's so, an excellent idea, Lee.
That maybe
is,
you all
yes.
can help me with that.
Yes, I think we can find some wonderful, wonderful songs for you, both country songs and R&B and gospel songs.
And we also mix in interviews, so we're going to want to
get some interviews. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and start the oral history.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you all for coming in tonight.
Thank you very much. It's been
Lee.
A pleasure.
Good luck with the project.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'd like to thank Christine Anderson, co-director of the Public History Program at Xavier University, and Sue Plummer, a member of the Ohio Local History Corps, for coming in tonight. You'll find a link to reach them at wdxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Lee Hay.
Does this kiss really mean what you think it means? Are the words that he whispers true? Are you sure you understand the touch of his hand? Does his touch mean too much to you? Oh, maybe I could be wrong, but go slow, little fool, for it's said that love either finds you or love either blinds you to the danger of a heartbreak.